This century's seen an interesting reversal of roles. For very often we put God in the dock and we bombard God with the questions. God, why do you allow so much suffering? God, what happens to the good Buddhist who's never heard of Jesus? God, why do you make it so hard to believe? But turn to the Bible and it's God who's asking the questions. In the Old Testament, where are you, Adam? Where are you, Eve? They're hiding. Where's your brother? Well, Cain has murdered him. And when it comes to the question of suffering in the book of Job, it's resolved by a massive questionnaire from God. Where were you when I created the earth? And you turn to the New Testament and you have also very searching questions indeed. What should it profit a person if they gain the whole wide world and lose their soul? Jesus asked at one stage, where are the nine? Because only one healed leper returns to say thank you. Another time Jesus says, wasn't it necessary that the Christ should suffer and die? And then when the disciples fell asleep just before Jesus' death in that garden, he says, couldn't you watch 1 hour? And here in Luke 6, verse 46, we have another very searching question. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? It is a very searching question, isn't it? And in these verses we're going to study this lunchtime, Jesus asks a question, and the question is then enlarged upon with a parable and explained further. Will you notice, please, first of all, an unanswerable question. As we've noticed so often before, it's Jesus who sets the agenda. It's Jesus who asks the questions. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? And that's a question which should stop us in our tracks and cause us to ponder our own lives, because it puts a spotlight on our living. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? You see, we can't trick the Lord Jesus Christ by saying Lord, Lord, and then disobeying him. And yet, if we're honest, we'd have to admit we have no excuse when we do that, when we just say Lord, Lord, and then don't do what Jesus says. So what might we be doing? We might be saying Lord, Lord, and yes, I know you all live very busy working lives, but you're saying perhaps Lord, Lord, and yet you find no time just for a few moments a day to pray and give thanks to God and bring your requests before him. Ah, yes, you're saying Lord, Lord, but you're not praying. Or perhaps there's some area of your life of disobedience. You have some secret sin which nobody else knows about, and yet you're saying Lord, Lord, and yet carrying on behaving in that way. Or how about in the office? Sometimes it's quite hard, isn't it, to be patient and loving when a deadline is fast rushing towards you. And perhaps whether you're a boss or a secretary, it's very easy, isn't it, in our thoughts and our words and our actions to forget that the men and women we work with are men and women created in the image of God. And yes, we say Lord, Lord, but actually then treat people like rubbish. Well, how about for those who are a little younger and have parents still alive? It's very easy, isn't it, to say Lord, Lord, and then not to honour our parents. We forget to say thank you, that we use home as a drive-in laundry and a fast food service, and we don't often write to our parents or phone them. Well, how about somebody who says, Lord, Lord, but actually you're sitting on the fence spiritually. You're going through the motions, but actually you know deep down, despite singing a hymn or perhaps attending a church, that it's all a charade. There's no inner reality to it. If you're somebody who's saying Lord, Lord, and yet ignoring the commands of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, you're what the New Testament calls a hypocrite, a play actor. If you like, you're wearing a mask. And that's dissatisfying to us, and it's a scandal to others, and it's an offence to the Lord Jesus Christ. I remember at one stage in my life, I was doing the spiritual splits, And the spiritual splits, just like the physical splits, can be painful, as I found out when I was pruning a tree recently on a wall, and the tree and the ladder and the wall all sort of seemed to separate. And I ended up on a sort of heap just on the wall. But actually in a spiritual life as well, we can do the spiritual splits, and it's very painful indeed. As Jesus says here, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say?" Isn't that an unanswerable question? But we have here not just an unanswerable question, but second also an unmistakable warning. Will you look at verse 49? "But the one who hears my words and does not put them into practice is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. The moment the torrent struck that house, it collapsed, and its destruction was complete." And verse 48 speaks there, doesn't it, about suddenly a torrent striking that house, a flood coming. And the parable here which Jesus tells says a storm is coming. When the flood came, the torrent struck that house. I remember a few years ago walking down the longest gorge in Europe with my father. Lovely hot day, a beautiful scenery, and then swimming off the coast, and we got down to the bottom of it. A couple of years later, I opened my newspaper and I read about four Britons who'd been drowned in that very gorge I'd enjoyed. Why? Well, because there's a sudden flash flood and they were swept away. I'm sure they weren't expecting it when they began to walk down that gorge. Or I think about some years ago being on the Iraqi-Turkey border, and the car I was driving in, we came to a great hole in the road. It was missing. And there was a long-distance lorry driver, and he was consoling himself, Iraqi, looking at his lorry, which was 100 yards below. He'd stopped in the storm. The road had been washed away. A sudden storm. And he'd unexpectedly found his lorry disappear down the hillside. Or you go perhaps to Israel, to Lake Galilee, and there are all sorts of wadis which run down to Lake Galilee. And the wadis say at the bottom, as they come near the road, it says, "Beware, flash floods." Why? Because a sudden storm rushes down and the road can be washed away, taking everything else with it. So Jesus is using an image which is very familiar to his hearers. And Jesus gives here an unmistakable warning. But a storm is coming. And that storm is the storm of judgment. On the day of judgment, when we die or when Christ returns, whichever is the sooner, it will be very serious to have been people who say, "Lord, Lord," and then have done absolutely nothing about it. Look at verses 47 and 48, will you? Jesus says there, "I'll show you what he's like who comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice. He's like a man building a house who dug down deep and laid the foundation on rock. When the flood came, the torrent struck that house, but could not shake it because it was well built." But then in verse 49, how different for those other people. "The moment that torrent struck that house, it collapsed, and its destruction was complete." Oh yes, you see, digging down deep can be very troublesome and costly. It takes effort. But if you're wise, you'll give attention to it. And the question is, will you stand firm on that day of judgment? Or will we be swept away? I know the Christian life isn't easy. Jesus never said it would be. And we know, don't we, in our workaday lives here in the West End, but all sorts of storms come across our path. There's the storm of conformity. And so there's pressure in the office. And yes, the language gets blue or blasphemous. Or other times there's the crude jokes or the lies. And it's very easy, isn't it, to almost get swept along with the crowd. And then there's a storm of temptation as well. Will we give in to it or will we resist it? Then there's a storm of ambition, which only sees this life in terms of the next bit of promotion or the bigger pay packet and totally forgets the eternal perspective. And then there's a storm on our minds as well. I think so often, isn't it, a pressure for us just to be very practical and utilitarian. And so the decisions we make about how we do business, about how we deal with people, very often that doesn't recognise people's value. No, we just go for the easiest way forward. You and I must, with God's help, endeavour to weather these storms. Storms are things like conformity and temptation and ambition and the storm on our minds. Why must we endeavour to weather them, to actually go a different way? Well, because a storm of judgment is most certainly coming. Verse 49, "But the one who hears my words and does not put them into practice is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. The moment that torrent struck that house, it collapsed and its destruction was complete." I recently walked along a part of the Dorset coast, and there were warnings about where the cliffs were loose and where you shouldn't go too near to the edge. There's a loving warning for the Dorset County Council to put up. I think I'd been in Africa a few years ago and seeing a minefield. And the vehicle I was in went down, which I was driving, down a very narrow road, down the middle. I then saw a dog run across the minefield, got about 100 yards, was then blown to smithereens. I'm glad I was sticking to the road. You see, warnings, and very kindly, warnings have been put there, I guess, by the United Nations where I was driving. Warnings do actually help us. They are loving things. And the Lord Jesus Christ here gives each of us a very loving warning. He warns us about that day of judgment. Let's make sure we heed his warning. Let's also notice there is an uncomfortable severity to authentic New Testament Christianity. Let's make sure we listen to and heed these loving words of Jesus. An unanswerable question, an unmistakable warning, and then third, an unending promise. Verses 47 and 48, I love these verses. Again, a great picture here of eternal security. I'll show you what he's like who comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice. He's like a man building a house who dug down deep and laid the foundation on rock. When the flood came, the torrent struck that house, but could not shake it because it was well built. And the promise here is that you and I, as men and women working in busy London, can on that day of judgment be rocks that don't roll, if you'll excuse the pun. Now, I used to go to Sunday school at an early age before I was banned from bad behaviour at the age of 7 for clambering on top of a wardrobe, and a rather short Sunday school teacher couldn't reach me as a friend and I bunged things down at her. But I was then removed by my father, never to go again, that particular incident. But I remember the Sunday school teacher used to often teach in very kind ways and very good, but I remember her teaching about this parable, and I now realise she got it totally wrong, because she said, boys and girls, Jesus is a rock, and if you build your house on the rock, you'll be safe and secure. But actually, the rock here is obedience to Jesus Christ. It's not Jesus Christ here being spoken of. No, it's talking about being obedient, putting our lives on that unshakable foundation by listening to his words and obeying them. And so often you and I have a short-term focus on life, and we don't look to the future. We just think about passing that exam or getting that promotion. There's a constant search, isn't there, around here for security. Security and health. I spoke to one of my neighbours who tells me he goes to Harley Street once a week to have a complete health test. He's so paranoid about his health. He's been looking for security in enormous fees he obviously pays to various people. Or how about looking for security in popularity, or in a relationship, or in friends, or yes, even in our work? So easy, isn't it, to look for security in all the wrong things rather than in obedience to Jesus Christ. In the run-up to the Gulf War, there was an assembly of enormous firepower, and a vast number of troops were gathered in and around Kuwait. is one of the biggest groupings ever assembled in one particular location since the Korean War. And it happened because the Allies had promised to remove Saddam Hussein from Kuwait. It was a big promise. It was a costly thing for the Allies to carry out, both in money and effort and life. But that promise is minuscule in comparison to Jesus' promise here, that each of us can be eternally secure. How? Well, if we say, Lord, Lord, and do what he tells us. If you're a barrister, you read the brief before you get to court because it's wise to prepare. If you're an accountant and you're going to do an audit, you prepare. If you're responsible for sorting out your firm's accounts, you keep an eye on all those VAT things you need to sort out. If you're a solicitor with an awkward bit of conveyancing to do, you make sure you prepare. If you're doing a professional examination, you prepare. Why? Because there's great wisdom in preparation. I wonder if each of us is ready for this final examination. A member of our church family here in her 30s died last weekend of cancer. She's our PCC treasurer. She lived her life for Christ. She gave her life to Christ as a student, and then she day by day sought to obey him. And I can say about that girl, Janice, that she's now eternally secure. She's with Christ forever. Why? Well, because she was somebody who said, Lord, Lord, and did what he said. You see, it's vital for you and I too to hear and do, to listen and to act. An unanswerable question, an unmistakable warning, but gloriously an unending promise of security forever. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who was executed in Flossenbürg concentration camp, he was somebody who opposed the Nazis in all the evil things they did. He said this in his book, The Cost of Discipleship. Listen to it carefully, because it's exactly right, and it sums up this parable so well. Only those who believe obey, and only those who obey believe. If you're a believer, you'll obey. And if you're obeying, it means you're a believer. Let's pray to God that each of us will be men and women who say, Lord, Lord, and do what he says. Let's pray together. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? For I want to thank you for these words of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we ask that we be men and women who say, Lord, Lord, who acknowledge you to be the King, and who obey you. And so we ask that each of us, on that day of judgment, would find ourselves to be eternally secure. And this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.